Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, this is Eddie Ojeda, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Do you love it loud?
Then plan to attend the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo, one-day event celebrating all things rock and roll. Over 20 rock podcasts from all over North America recording on-site. Panel discussions with producers that have worked with Ozzy, Slayer, Kiss, Y&T, Seven Dust, Dokken, and more. Celebrity signings and meet-and-greets with current and former members of Cinderella, Winger, Tora Tora, Collective Soul, Taiketto, The Monkees, with more to be announced. All that and record dealers slinging some sweet vinyl. The Nashville Rock and Pod Expo takes place Saturday, August 26th at the Music Valley Event Center. More information available at NashvilleRockandPodExpo.com as well as on Facebook. The Nashville Rock and Pod Expo. Feast your ears.
Striegel,
John Astronomy,
the Talking Metal Podcast, coming to you from the Silver Spacecraft. I'm Bud Friendly, and now your hosts, Mark and John.
Hey, it's John Astronomy. Welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. We've got a great show for you tonight. Calling in from the Silver Spacecraft, we've got Mark Striegel.
John, how are you?
I am doing great, Mark, and I am so psyched that you had the chance to hook up with one of my favorite guitar players since 1981-1982, Eddie Ojeda from Twisted Sister. I've been a fan of all his stuff. His Twisted stuff, his solo stuff, Axis to Axis, anything.
Great record.
Eddie Ojeda is, and he's such a great guy. He came on our Fuse show, and I'm really psyched that he's on this episode of Talking Metal.
Yeah, he did Paranoid with us on Fuse on the Talking Metal TV show, and then he also played I Wanna Rock, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And with Corey Clark on the vocals, who I just did a gig with my band Like It,
right,
at Tobacco Road, which
Like It opened for Warrior Soul, right?
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah, we had a great time.
We've come full circle. You have reconnected with Corey Clark. We're reconnecting with Eddie Ojeda, and we just need to get back in touch with Richard Christie, who is the drummer on those songs.
Yeah, that would be great. We got to find out what Richard's up to.
Yeah, I know he's still doing the Stern show, so he probably isn't too hard to track down. But Eddie is here to talk all things Eddie Ojeda, including his brand new hot sauce, which is absolutely delicious. I highly recommend it. If you're a hot sauce guy like I am, you gotta check out the Twisted hot sauce. It is so, so good.
I definitely got to check it out. Now, where can all the Talking Metal listeners get it? I'm sure that you guys talk about this, but where can we get it? Or should I wait to hear the interview?
No, you probably hear me typing in the background. I am just pulling up that information, which I should have on note cards in front of me, but I don't. It's Twisted Hot Sauce, and it's at twistedhotsauce.com. Pretty easy. Check it out.
Good.
We'll have that link through today's show notes. It's also up on Amazon, and we'll have a direct Amazon link, too, in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. I encourage all the listeners to go check out our show notes on the website, and we post news there. We have links to our social media. There's a lot of stuff going on talkingmetal.com. And you know what, John, before we get into the interview with Eddie, can you update us on what's going on with you? And of course, we're always anxious to hear about the Ace Connection.
Yeah. So next week, I'm going to be going to Florida, three cities, Clearwater, Florida, Melbourne, Florida, and Hollywood, Florida, and doing a little short three-show Ace tour. And that's going to be great. And then I'm coming back to New York the following Saturday, the 29th, and I'm going to be playing a show headlining The Bitter End in New York City with Like It, my band. You should come down to one of these shows. And
I'm looking at that Bitter End show. You know, my wife has a friend in town that night. I am very tempted to sneak out and come to that Bitter End show. You going
That'd
on right at 11, or does it mean, like,
yeah,
it says 11 p.m., but does that mean you go on at like 1 or something?
No. I think The Bitter End, they're pretty much right on. I think the last time we're there, it was a little bit late, but when they say 11, it's not like back in the old days when we said 11, we meant 12. I think they really do mean 11 now.
Okay.
So could be a little later, but I'll find out. Everybody, if you're in New York, come down. I guarantee you guys will like it. And the band's called Like It. and here's the reason why. I'm not just saying it because I'm in some band and think my band is good. It's not that. This is a weird thing. Back in the 90s, I was in a band called Cherry Red playing drums, and I opened up for a band called Like It, and I thought they were amazing. And their guitar player, amazing guitar player, blows me away. His name is Jerry Sunshine. He moved back to Japan, and Jamie, the lead singer of Like It, saw a video of me playing the Alive 2A solo years ago. I only know like three leads, and I just play them over and over in all the songs. But Jamie was like, if you can play those leads and Like It songs, you could be in Like It. And he encouraged me to do it and believed in my guitar playing when I didn't even believe in my guitar playing. And so the truth is, we're playing these great Like It songs that have been around since then. They're kind of like, I don't know, AC/DC style with like kind of a cross between Ace Ventura and Robin Zander or David Lee Roth on vocals or something like that. And it's there's a little comedy in it, and it's just a great band, in my opinion.
Yes, my opinion too. I've been a fan as long as you have, which is decades at this point.
Yeah.
I never played in the band like you've gone on to do, and you've been with Like It at least 10, 15 years, right?
Yeah, definitely. Because even back in what I considered the back in the day, I was in Like It for part of that time, too. So I was in Like It. I was a fan of Like It. Then I was in Like It. Then Like It was on like a long hiatus. And now Like It is back. And it's going to be a good gig. We have another surprise gig that I'm not going to tell you where, but we're going to be doing some with Bret Michaels. But that's not in the New York City area. So
okay.
If you're in the New York City area, come on down to The Bitter End. And then later on, after that show, I will, on the next podcast, announce what we're doing with Bret Michaels. That's going to be happening in the future.
So here's what I want to do. I want to get into a Like It song right now. You can download this for free on the Like It website. John, what is the Like It website?
Oh, yeah. The Like It website is like-it-online.com.
And what should we play for the Talking Metal listeners?
Oh, okay. Let's play the song Mommy.
Okay, this is Mommy. This is an old recording. I don't think you actually play on this recording,
no,
right?
Yeah,
this
I'm
is
not,
like from
I'm
the
not
90s.
On this one. Yeah.
It's from the 90s, but it's a great song. And if you see Like It Live with John, you will definitely probably hear this song, I would imagine.
Yes.
This is Like It with Mommy.
We'll be right back.
What you just heard was a little like it here on Talking Metal. We're going to get right into our interview with the one and only Eddie Ojeda. When's the first time you saw Twisted Sister, John?
The first time I saw Twisted Sister was back in 1982.
Right. Yeah, you got me.
Or early 83 at the Stanley Theater in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Queensryche was opening up. And at that point, Queensryche only had the four-song EP out.
Right. Very cool.
So this was on what I would say was, I believe, the You Can't Stop Rock and Roll tour.
Yeah, I saw them a little after you. It would have been the World Slavery Tour in, I guess that would have been late 84. And World Slavery is the Power Slave Tour for Iron Maiden. Twisted Sister were opening up. I saw them at the Mecca Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I believe that was December of 84. So long time ago. Great show. Great memory. Guys, before we get into the interview, stay in touch with us. Leave us a message and we'll probably play it on the podcast. 973-757-1917 is the number. We're on Twitter at talkingmetal.com. We have an Instagram account. It's Talking Metal, you know, at Instagram. Use the Amazon links to support us. Come see us in Nashville on August 26th. You can co-host a show if you donate $75 to the Nashville Rock Pod GoFundMe, which is GoFundMe.com/Rock and Pod Expo. You don't even have to come to Nashville for that. Just send me an email after you make the donation. We can hook it up via Skype, or we can do it in person in Nashville on August 26th at the Rock and Pod Expo. All that info is up in today's show notes. And support Eddie. Buy his hot sauce. John, let's get into this song. This is just a great song. This is Eddie Ojeda and Ronnie James Dio off the Axis to Axis record with Tonight.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Tonight. This is a special song. And then we'll get into a special interview with Eddie Ojeda. It's Mark Striegel of the Talking Metal Podcast, and on the line, the one, the only, Eddie Ojeda from Twisted Sister. Eddie, how are you?
Okay, how's it going, Mark? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. You know, we've had some history together, which we'll review, but the last time I spoke with you was
kind of a dark time. I was a producer on that metal show with Eddie Trunk, and you guys came in right after the tragic death of AJ, and I'm glad to be speaking to you under a little better circumstances today, and we'll get into everything you got going on. But right off the bat, you have some great hot sauce out. Let's just get right into that. Twisted hot sauce.
Yeah.
And numerous different flavors. How involved with the design and the taste of this were you?
Very much. We definitely got artists to work on it, and with some of the ideas, kind of some basic, like some of the things with people already know me for, like the bullseye guitar, and kind of worked off that, and sort of the look that we have or used to have back in the day with the makeup and stuff. So,
right.
It was part of that whole thing, but I was very much, it's funny because a lot of people think that somebody just, I signed up with some company and, they kind of bankrolled the whole thing, but,
right.
Everything, I did this from A to Z as far as financing, and it's my own thing. I've had a little help here along the way, which is part of the growing process, but, it's what happens with a business. But, this sort of started off as a fun thing. My friend John Rosati, who's a cook, and he also has, Rosati Foods, and he has a lot of, Rip is his company, and he has a lot of some wing sauces and a hot sauce out. I think he's going to come out with another couple of sauces, but,
oh, cool.
I was friends with him, and we were sort of joking around, and I said, I'd like to do a hot sauce, because I've always been into hot sauce, and, I said, kind of like a fun thing, and I ate cherries. I used to eat cherries because it used to help my gout. I had gout for a while, which is really a pain in the ass.
Right, it can be really painful, right?
I used to get it in my bunion, and it was like, thank God I don't get it anymore. It's been like over 10 years, but for a while I had it was weird because people would think you got to eat a lot of rich foods. And, I never really, I've always had like a good diet. So as far as, that was it. It wasn't concerned, because, back in the day, that's how people got it, from eating all these rich foods. And the fact they used to call it the King's diet or something, the King's disease or something like that.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if you know about it. I just kind of found out about that along the way. But so, we started talking. I said, is there a cherry hot sauce available? And he says, actually, there's no cherry hot sauce. Nobody's ever made a cherry hot sauce. So I got to, he's a chef, and I got together with him, and, we went back and forth, and until we got it just right. And, it just evolved from that. I said, okay, so I did it just to have my own hot sauce. I made a batch, a nice size batch, not too much. And I went to the Hot Sauce Expo, and it sort of took off from there. I didn't really, I did it more for, but sometimes out of need, out of necessity comes the invention, right? They say, because it was something I did just to have fun with it. And, but then when people started reacting to the hot sauce, they loved it so much, like people fighting over it, hiding from their roommates, all kinds of things. Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, and so, from that, it sort of turned into a business. At first it was something like I was just going to do with family and friends, give them some hot sauce, maybe sell a little bit online, but it just evolved into a thing where people really wanted it. And, I started getting requests for it. And then from that, I got into the other two flavors. I also worked with John Rosati on those two other flavors, the peach and the apple.
Right.
And, it's turned into a real business,
cool. Which
is really cool because, right now, last year we did our farewell tour. We haven't broken up. A lot of people think the band broke up. It's not like we broke up, but we're just not touring anymore. I'm sure there's still things going on with the band as far as, putting out certain recordings and videos that have never been released, you know, especially stuff over the last 13 years playing, you know, we've done a lot of video.
Right.
So, you know, we're going to be releasing things here and there, but, and, you know, maybe we'll get together for a benefit or something like that. You know, just it's just the touring stuff is, you know, we did it. We had a great run. And, you know, so everybody wants to take a break. So,
right on.
You know, we just decided, like, you know, go. This, you know, it was a great tour last year. We worked a lot. And, you know, so now it's good because I can sort of concentrate on the hot sauce and work on some music, some solo stuff.
Cool.
And, also, you know, help out my daughter because she's a singer. She lives out in L.A.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, so, you know, I'm getting to do a lot of things that, because it was kind of hard, you know, being on tour and trying to, you know, work on the business, the hot sauce business, especially now that it's picked up quite a bit. It's nice to be able to concentrate on it, you know.
Right on. So, and just.
And I'm loving it, you know, yeah.
Just for the listeners, TwistedHotSauce.com is the website. We will have that link through today's show notes on TalkingMetal.com. Definitely support Eddie and his hot sauces. They're absolutely delicious, and I can highly recommend them. Eddie, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, which you kind of just covered, was, you know, it's been, I think, 8 months now since that last Twisted Sister show. And, you know, the hot sauce has kept you busy, that business end. But you mentioned some other things, working with your daughter. What kind of music does your daughter play?
Sort of pop rock, I would say.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to say straight ahead pop. But, you know, she definitely leans towards being more rock, more of a rock singer.
Okay.
And, you know, it's going good. She's out in L.A. She's been writing with her boyfriend, and he's a great keyboard player. So it's really good that, you know, they can work together and come up with songs. But like anything else, it's a tough business. I've always told her, I said, you know, it's a feast or famine in the music business. So it's not for the meek, you know. So she's got a good grip on it, and, you know, she's out there working and meeting people, and it's good.
Cool. You know? And, you know, a number of years back, I guess it was, I want to say 2004, correct me if I'm wrong, but great, great solo record from you, Axis to Axis, which just had so many great tunes and great guest stars. I mean, the album opened up with, I think, Tonight, right, with Ronnie James Dio on vocals, and Jolynn Turner was on that record, Rudy Sarzo, Terry Louise, so much talent on that record. And is there any chance, I mean, you hinted at it just before, that we might get another solo record from you?
Yeah, I've been wanting to do that. It's been hard. I mean, I got songs, I got some basic tracks for like 4 songs, and I got a ton of stuff I could, you know, finish. But just, you know, over the last couple of years, it's been busy, hard to sort of get into the studio.
Right.
And I think I'm just going to take it like a song at a time, you know, because right now with albums, you put out an album and, you know, the internet kind of, you know, has hurt the musicians a lot more, the music business a lot more than any other business, because, you know, you put out an album and it's all over the internet in 2 days.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And it's kind of, it's not like, I mean, you want people to hear your music, but it's also like that's what you do to make a living. So
yeah, it's your livelihood.
It kind of, it's kind of a double-edged sword, you know. It's one of those things where you want people to enjoy it and hear it and get to it. But, you know, at the same time, you need some kind of support. And it's hard when you work and it's, do an album, and, you know, it can get costly. And, you know, sometimes it's something just, at this point, if something just pays for itself, it's worth doing, you know, just for your head, you know, for yourself as a musician or, you know, an artist. But, you know, it definitely makes you less motivated to put stuff out, because it's just, you know, it's all over the place. You know, it makes it difficult. So there's no sense of urgency with putting out a new album, because it's kind of weird. Like, people ask for new stuff all the time, but every time I see somebody come out with a new album, it's like I hear about it for like a week and then it just disappears.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes me wonder about the whole direction of the music business. You know, especially here in America, things have really turned away from the rock scene as much, unless you happen to be in that kind, into that kind of music. You know, you turn on TV and you barely, you know, once in a while you come across like some kind of rock tune or a band that's, you know, everything sort of become one dimension.
Right.
In the whole pop scene. So, you know, it's kind of, that's weird too. That affects a lot of people, especially people in our world, you know, with hard rock or metal. You know, it's funny because when you see a movie, there's like all this heavy music, especially if it's an action movie. You know, your double bass drums and like heavy guitar. But then, you know, as far as on the radio, it's not like what it used to be. So, and that makes you think too, as far as direction. And like I said, it's kind of sad. You know, somebody puts out a new album and nobody even, you know, you hear about it for a couple of weeks and then it just kind of fades into the sunset, you know. And it's happened with a lot of bands. And it's almost like the only thing people know is the old music. You know,
right.
Stuff that,
yeah, the new music doesn't get a chance. You know? It doesn't get a chance because they play the classic rock radio station, at least here in New York. It's like you turn on Q104 and it's the same song by Zeppelin and the Eagles and Blue Oyster Cult. I mean, all great songs, don't get me wrong, but it's like it's just the same stuff. They just keep playing over and over again.
Yeah, because when somebody comes out with the new, like when Van Halen, after the Hager days, when Eddie hooked up with the singer from
Extreme,
it's on the tip of my tongue, huh?
Extreme,
the singer Extreme, right. You know, that was, I don't know if you ever heard that album.
Yeah, I have heard
it's
yeah.
It's a great album.
Right.
You know, and it kind of came and went.
Right.
And I listened to it, and you know, I just kind of, it's one of those things, like ever since then, that's a while, we're talking about more than 10 years ago that album came out. And it was like sort of a shame. And that's happened a lot, even with Maiden and other bands. You know, you go see a band live and they play stuff off the new record and nobody said, we're going to play a new song off the new album.
Right.
And nobody really reacts to it. They kind of just do a sort of a kind get into it. And then they're just waiting for the songs that everybody know.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Some of the stuff, all the, basically the 80s, all the stuff we did back in the 80s, and it still holds up today. And it's not like the new stuff isn't good. It's just as good, but except it just doesn't get the attention for some reason that it used to.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to put your finger on the pulse of what's happening in the business, but it's interesting. So
would you consider just releasing like one song at a time?
Yeah, that seems a little easier, and it's not too much information. You know, it's
right.
Like one song at a time and let it soak in. You know, at least for me, that's the way I think. That's the direction I want to go in. And then when you have enough songs, you just maybe do a CD.
Right.
You know, put them all together.
And would you be working with guest vocalists again? You know, you had a lot of great ones on the Axis to Axis record.
Yeah. I plan to do that too. I mean, I can't really mention anybody's names because, you know, down the line, it's always been like, and I know a lot of people in the business, and it depends on somebody's availability and where everybody's at the time. But I definitely like doing that because it adds a different element, you know, when you bring somebody, another vocalist from a different band, it sort of gives it a different direction, you know,
right.
Instead of like sometimes, you know, some people sometimes people do solo albums and it sounds like another song by the band, you know, the band you're in, instead of sounding like
right.
a solo record.
No, I hear what you're saying, definitely.
That's something that sometimes you want to avoid, and sometimes having a different singer can make a big difference.
Absolutely. And I want to dive a little into your past, and I have a few things I want to ask you about the past. But before we do that, you mentioned that the Twisted Sister is not, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said it implied that it's not really over. It's still happening. There's videos on their way, and you could even foresee the band maybe getting together for a benefit or something like that in the future. Is that something you guys have all spoken about?
Yeah, we've sort of talked about it briefly. It's not like, because sometimes, you know, when people say they stop touring, people think right away the band broke up, but they don't realize it's, you know, it's still a business. It's still going to continue to flow, and you're going to find new stuff to put out. It's not necessarily new, but things you did over the last few years, especially all the live shows we did, you know, there's a lot of footage and from all these great festivals we played and, you know, and recordings that come from that. You know, we're still working on things like that, and you know, re-releasing some of our albums, the old albums, and you know, so stuff is still going to be available. It's not like, you know, we've disappeared. You know, we're still around.
Right.
It's just you know, we're still a band. We're just not touring. You know, we still talk to each other.
Cool.
It's not like one of those things. You know.
That's good. That's
so
good.
It's
to
all
hear.
Good.
You know? Yeah. And you know, when we go back to the 80s, you guys had so many great records that came out back then. I mean, I was a fan of everything you put out back in those days, including the last record, what I consider the last record in 1987, Love Is for Suckers. And I know you put some stuff out since then, but it was never like a full album of original new music. Really, Love Is for Suckers was the last one. Why was there never, I mean, and that was at this point, what, like 30 years ago, 1987, why was there never another Twisted Sister album of original material since then?
Well, it's like, you know, because of a lot of the reasons that I told you, it seems like people just don't grab it. They don't get to it. It's like, I always say it took 30 years for people to learn the songs we know.
Right.
So the songs that we always play, you know, so why mess with it? If it's not broken, you know, why try and fix it? And, you know, we just never, you know, we did the Christmas album, which was sort of like a fun thing, you know, and that was a different direction. It was something that we never expected to do. We were just joking around. It was around Christmas time. We were playing someplace, and we started singing Christmas songs and sort of coming up with ideas. It was just like a fun thing. And we said, why don't we do a Christmas album? And then, you know, it evolved into us actually doing a Christmas album, which, you know, there's a lot of there's a fun side to that whole album. You know, it's definitely done with, it's serious, but it's definitely done with, you know, to be lively and fun and, you know, kind of funny and just entertaining, that, you know, not super serious. So, you know, it was, that's the only thing we did. And we've talked about doing another album, but it just didn't happen because we were seeing so many other bands put albums out and they would just fade away. And they said, well, we said, all these bands are putting out albums and nobody seems to care. You know, they're still listening to the old records.
Right.
So, if you notice, a lot of people have stopped doing new music because the old stuff still goes over so well, you know? So it's just one of those things, I think, just a phase that the business is going through, especially for musicians like us in our style of music. Probably happening more so than anybody else, you know. You know, the pop world is still alive and well. I mean, if anybody in the pop world puts out something, it's all over the place. But it's gotten kind of difficult for rock
yeah.
music, you know, for rock. Yeah. You know, it's there and we still have, there's a following there, but it's sort of like the pop scene is really taking over here. And sort of in general, I mean, in Europe, it's still alive and well. As far as the festivals, it's all heavy bands, you know?
Right.
Which is another reason why so many bands do so well overseas. Because, you know, you'll have from 8 to 80, you know, people are just into the music. You know?
Right, right.
And you come here and it's just not, that's not going on here for some reason. You know, you have your festivals here and there, but it's not like... the way it is in Europe. They really got it down. It's sort of a thing that's developed over the years. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, music goes, you know, everything goes in phases, you know, you never know. And especially a lot of the retro stuff is just, it's really happening. You know, if you look at even some TV commercials, they're playing so many songs from you know, the 80s era. Well, the anthem rock. And that's probably another reason, like everything was so, you know, had big anthems, you know, and they just stuck in people's heads. So that's, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, I never decide you never know what's going to happen with the business, you know, what direction it's going to go in.
Right on.
I'm sure there'll be another time when heavy music comes back into the whole scene, especially here. Because it's, you know, this is not, in Europe, that's not the way it is. You know, in Europe, rock is alive and well, you know. It's mostly here in the States that, you know, people just, you know, when you go over there, it's like another world. It's still doing so well, but over here, it's, you know, it's sort of one direction.
Right, I hear what you're saying.
So we'll see what happens.
You know, you mentioned video projects that you guys could potentially be working on, and it just made me think of the great documentary that came out a number of years ago, not that long ago, two, three years ago, We Are Twisted Fucking Sisters.
Twisted Effing Sisters.
Yeah, so good. I really enjoyed that. I mean, that was, and the amazing thing about it is it didn't really even get into when you guys exploded and were all over MTV. It kind of ended right there, you know? So is there a sequel in the works for that? Could there be another documentary that picks up where that one left off?
I mean, there possibly could be. You know, it's funny because you mentioned that because it is about the early years. It was about how we got there. It doesn't go on after we, you know, what happened when we got there. It just tells you how we got there and how tough it was. And the thing about it, even if you're not into the band, the story is it's a great story. It's
about
just
definitely
busting your ass, you know, and so many bands and so many artists or musicians or even, you know, people that are into acting, anybody that has to do anything to do with entertainment can relate to it, you know, because everybody's been there and gone through all that to get where they got. And that's what's good about it. And I've read different reviews where people have said, you know, I never really cared for the band, but I really love the documentary because it's such a good story about, you know, the hustle in life.
Right. Yeah, no, it's great.
It's a great
watch.
It definitely reached that. It did, you know, it did a good thing as far as relating to people. Because I think anybody can relate to it. Even if they're not into music, if they chose whatever they did to be successful.
Right.
You know, so
definitely.
Definitely, it tells a good story about what a rock band goes through.
Yeah, really well done, well put together, and the story is there, and all that great footage, old footage of you guys. It's a really exciting watch. You know, one old story I wanted to get into from kind of that era is you know, we lost the great Lemmy Kilmister about a year and a half ago at this point, and I just always loved the story of what he did for you guys. And can you, from your perspective, talk a little bit about what Lemmy did for you back in 1982?
Yeah, you like the imitation I did of Lemmy?
Yeah.
I did a little imitation.
You
got to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Like, because they say, and it was just something that Andrew Horn, who, you know, was the director and put it all together. His editing was amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a planned thing. It just happened to fit it just fit in there at the right time. But when we went, the first time we played in England, we opened for Motorhead, you know. So, you know, we're driving in and we're looking at the crowd. It's like all dudes with leather jackets and tattoos. Right. And, you know, we said, we always had a tough crowd. It's, you know, it's just the kind of band we were. It's funny because we wore makeup, but we had a tough-ass crowd.
Right.
You know, and, you know, with bikers, and it was just that kind of a real metal crowd that we always drew. So, you know, we're looking at the crowd and we're saying, and, you know, Motorhead was a pretty hardcore with the way they looked and the whole, you know, speed metal thing. And it was, we were definitely scared, you know. But it was in a small stadium. And so, you know, Lemmy comes in, and he was really into the band by the time already, before we got to England, you know. And
now, when you say you guys were scared, were you scared you might physically be attacked or hurt?
Well, not physically be hurt, but they weren't going to like us.
Right. You know? Okay. Gotcha.
Like, we were just not heavy enough. And we were still wearing makeup at the time, you know, even though it wasn't like glam makeup. It was more like war paint, the way it looked.
And right.
That's the way I always thought of it, you know. It wasn't, I mean, it started off kind of glammy, but it evolved into more of a war paint kind of thing. And, you know, the band is all big guys. We're not, you know, it wasn't the kind of, even though we wore makeup, we were definitely tough as nails, you know. So
yeah,
as far as the music and kind of the way we performed. So, you know, we were just a little bit like, well, what's going to happen? Are they going to start throwing stuff or whatever? Because, you know, in England, especially at the Donington, they used to just, it was funny because there would be like 40,000, 50,000 people, you know. And for every band, there was a good 10,000 people that were into the band. And then another 30,000 people that weren't.
Right.
And they brought fruit.
Yeah.
You know, they brought shit to chuck at the band, you know. And it doesn't matter who you were. You know, like, because Meatloaf came on and said, you want to throw stuff? Go ahead and throw it. And, like, he was knee-deep and stuff for like 5 minutes, you know. It's like, but with us, you know, it was, so Donington was funny. I mean, I don't know if there's some footage of that too in the movie, but you know, it's just one of those things that we were nervous, you know. First time playing in England, having a really, probably one of the toughest crowds you could open to was a Motorhead crowd. And Lemmy came out and introduced us. You know, like, "Oh, this is just all of it." So he just came out and you know, he was introduced us, and the place where they went crazy, you know, and that was it from that point on. I mean, we were just totally accepted in England.
And doesn't he come out and stage then while you guys are playing too? Isn't he out on stage with you at some point?
Yeah, I think he might have jammed with us that day. I know he jammed with us so many times, it's hard to remember exactly, you know, because when we did that show, The Tube, you know, he came out with Rob. And we, you know, we did It's Only Rock and Roll.
Right.
And Donnie Philly came out with, and that really helped too at the end when he came out, you know, because he was like such a hero at the time. Well, he always was, but at the time in England, you know, Lemmy came on stage and endorsed you. You were in.
Yeah.
You know? And, yep. But you know, I thought we backed it up, you know, as far as.
Oh, yeah.
What we did musically, you know, so, and with the attitude, you know, and D being the kind of front man he is, you know, there was nothing squeamish about it. You know, it was like, you know, we were out there knocking it dead, you know, so it was great for him to do that for us. But, And unfortunately, he's gone, but he's, you know, he's always been a good friend to the band, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And we all miss him, you know. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, another guy who left us a number of years back, Ronnie James Dio, who we mentioned was on your Axis to Axis CD. And, you know, going back, way back to, you had a long history with him because you were heavily involved with the Benefit Project. Yeah. Yeah, he put together back in, I want to say, 85. I'm not sure. I think 85. Hearing Aid. Yeah, can you, any memories of going to wherever you guys recorded that and hanging out with, like, every single rock superstar ever?
I know, that's some crowd, right, in that picture.
It was amazing.
At the time, it's funny, because Nikki Sixx drove me there. It's like, he took me over to the hotel, and I was hanging out with him quite a bit back then. And he came with, like, one of those open Wrangler Jeeps.
Right, right.
And I said, this is not very low-key to us, especially with the hair and open Jeep going down Sunset Boulevard.
Right.
You know, which was pretty cool. So, I mean, Nikki didn't play on it, but I know, you know.
Vince was on it, I think, yeah.
Vince was on it. So, you know, Nikki came down to hang out, and, you know, he came down that first day with me. It was over at A&M Studios, which Herb Alpert used to own. I don't know if anybody will know who Herb Alpert is.
I know who he is. Yeah. The Tijuana Brass.
Tijuana Brass. But some people might, they can Google it, I guess. It's just, but, you know, he owned that A&M Records, and that's where we did it. That's where Ronnie, really great studio. And, you know, I was there for 2 days. And it was a great hang. I mean, there's a lot of camaraderie back in those days, you know, and it was just a great hang for 2 days, you know, between that and then going back at the hotel, everybody was around. So it was a really, it was a great experience. You know, I guess it was our version of We Are the World.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
The heavy metal version, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was a great experience.
Was that, you know, where you first met Ronnie, or did you know Ronnie before then?
Oh, no, I knew. We toured with Ronnie. One of our first American tours was with Ronnie James Dio. You know, we toured all over the States with him. When I think that was what, Stay Hungry. I think that was between Stay Hungry or Can't Stop Rock and Roll.
Okay.
Because after Stay Hungry, we toured with Maiden.
Right, which, but that's the first time I saw you guys on the Power Slave tour. Yeah, I saw you open up for Maiden.
The World Slavery Tour? Yeah,
Power yes, Slave. World Slavery,
I think it was
correct.
World Slavery Tour.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was another great, great time. But, yeah, we had opened Friday, so, you know, I got to know Vivian Campbell very well. From that, I always stayed friends with him and Ronnie and, you know, all the other guys in the band. But mostly I hung out with Vivian a lot back then because, right, you know, every day you're at the same gig, you know,
yeah,
and on days off you're at the same hotel. So, you know, you end up hanging out a lot together. And that's where I really got to know Ronnie really well. And, you know, he was just such a great guy. And the thing is, you know, I mean, I never knew, nobody ever knew he was going to get sick, you know, and you know, when I asked him to sing on the album, he hadn't even heard the song. I said, listen, I'm putting out a solo album, I want you to sing, like, the title song, one of the, you know, title songs on the album, the first cut. And he said, sure, just send it to me, and I'll do it. And I was saying, like, well, how do you know the song's good? You know, I'm glad that he liked the song, but I was like, I guess he had confidence in me,
right,
that, you know, because even when I wrote the song, it was kind of, I had him in mind, you know, and it's kind of a similar groove to a lot of the stuff that he wrote. So he was the perfect vocalist for it, you know. And it was just great that I got to work with him, like, on a level like that, you know, for somebody to say Ronnie James Dio sang one of my songs, you know, on an album I put out, is great enough, you know, but then the fact that he's gone, you know, like, a few years later, he was gone. I was like,
yeah,
wow, that was, you know, I'm really blessed that I got him to he did this for me. You know, it's something I'll always treasure.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, yeah, so, because that was 2007, I believe. Or when was Axis to Axis? I'm trying to, and he was gone a couple years later. Yeah.
Yeah, so like maybe two years later. And it was definitely hitting me or anybody that worked with him on that level, you know, to have him sing one of your songs. It was like, it's a real honor. Yeah. And, you know, and it meant even more after knowing what happened. It meant so much more to me. It's hard to say because it meant a lot, even, I definitely wish he was still alive. I mean, you know, but you just treasure it so much. You realize, like, how lucky, you know, you are to get somebody like him to sing one of your songs and you know, to say that you have that, because that's something you have forever. You know, it's on tape. It'll be around long after we're all gone.
Yep.
You know, so it's kind of that's a great thing to treasure. And I always appreciate it and you know, think about it, you know.
So no, you guys on the
beat that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're talking, of course, about the song is Tonight by Eddie Ojeda. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. Definitely check it out with the great late Ronnie James Dio on lead vocals. And before we leave that topic, so you wrote the song, you wrote all the lyrics, and you basically just sent it to him, and then he sang it, or did he kind of change it at all?
Yeah, he sang it.
Yeah.
He didn't change it at all. The only thing is he changed the lyrics. He wrote magic. He's got to put the word magic in every song.
You got to have a magic or a rainbow or look out or something.
Yeah. Right? He said, I'm changing this to magic. I said, okay.
Right.
You know, and he just sent me an email that said, I'm going to do the vocals and I'm going to double it and you're going to like it. And he said, nice. I'm going to do all the harmonies and you're going to like it. And I'm going to change some of the lyrics and you're going to like it. Like, what? I said, okay. You know, I just wrote him back saying, thanks, you know, and he, you know, did it. I had it back. I sent him the tracks and I had it back within like a week.
Wow.
I kind of lucked out too, because he just put a studio in his house. So it was like perfect timing.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, let me try this track on here. And, you know, Greg Rowley, not Rowley, you know, Greg, the guitar player, Goldie.
Craig Goldie, yeah.
For a long time. Craig Goldie. He actually engineered it because he told me he was there working with Ronnie on it.
Oh, so, cool.
And, you know, I got the tracks back. You know, I still have, you know, the CDs with just his vocal on it by itself. You know, when it sounds, it's pretty eerie to just hear it by itself.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the minute we matched it with the track, everybody in the studio was like, you know, screaming and going, oh, yeah, man. It really made a big difference with his vocal on there. And
one of a kind.
You know, when he double tracks things, it's like so tight. It's like you can't, it's almost like you can't tell. It's doubled, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was, you know, it was just one of those great things. So.
Right on. Hey, Eddie, I know I told you we'd do a 20 to 25 minute interview. We're already at 40, so I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I did. There were two quick questions I wanted to throw at you. Mike Portnoy, of course, worked with you guys, stepping in for AJ to finish things off on the final tour for Twisted Sister. Do you stay in touch with Mike much?
Yeah. You know, we text and email. I haven't talked to him. Mostly like text and email.
Right.
Or a tweet here and there. You know, Donald Trump is not the only one that tweets, you know.
Right.
But, I keep in touch with him. He's a great guy. I mean, he's probably one of the few people that could fill in for AJ. I guess, you know, people don't even realize how good a drummer AJ was. And I think having Portnoy, fill in for him, I think made people realize, because he played, you know, he took out everything exactly like, you know, with respect to AJ, didn't like change anything.
Right.
Which, you know, some people always like to put their own little flair into it, you know, but he kept it all the same. You know, yeah.
Well, he's a fan. He's a Twisted fan, and he knows how the fans would want to hear the songs, which is how AJ would play them. So, yeah, big kudos to Mike for really just staying true to AJ's drum parts on that last tour.
Yeah, he's kind of like whoever he works with. He just nails it. You know, he does exactly what, you know, if he fills in for somebody, he doesn't fluctuate. He does what needs to be done, you know, which is, you know, it's hard, especially for someone like him, you know, with his chops, you know, and I mean, I don't know if you ever seen him do the Beatles stuff, you know.
You know, I haven't, no.
He's going out. Yeah. I mean, he'll play just like Ringo, you know.
Wow.
They do like a Beatles tribute. Him and Paul Gilbert, they got a couple of DVDs out. I think the band was called Yellow Mallard Custard.
Right, right. Now that you're mentioning it, I do remember seeing a YouTube video of that long time ago. Yep.
Yeah, he gave me the DVDs. I didn't even know, you know, when he first hooked up with us, he brings us all a box of like 40 CDs and DVDs, because he's worked with so many different people, you know. So it was cool. So when I saw the Beatles stuff, I put it on, and he did a couple of shows at B.B. King's. It's pretty happening. And, you know, to hear him just play straight ahead like the Ringo stuff, you know, it goes to show, you know, he has a lot of control over what he does. You know, he doesn't, you can't change a Beatles tune.
Right.
It's one of those things. It's, you can't, because even though it's simple, it was just, it's, you know, you can't mess with stuff like that, because it just kind of ruins it. But yeah, I'm just, my point is that he can just, you know, go from one thing to another with no problem.
Right on.
You know, which is it's a good thing to have.
Absolutely. You know? Hey, I know Adam from FU Tone does some work on your guitars, and he did some work on mine.
Yeah.
Really talented, great guy. Where do you know Adam from?
I know Adam back from, he used to be a rep for Floyd Rose.
Okay.
You know, and I was, you know, I did an ad back in 85 with the first Floyd Rose ad that was in Guitar Player. It was myself, I can't remember everybody who was on there. I know Neil Schon was there. It was myself, Neil Schon, John McCurry, who played with, I can't think of everybody's name off my head, because it's been a while since I talked to him. But that was one of the first Floyd Rose ads ever done. They had a poster and everything. So, you know, I was always working with Floyd, which is funny, too, because the first time he came to see the band, I introduced him to the guys in the band, and they said, there's a guy named Floyd Rose. You know, they just thought it was a part.
Right, right. You know?
I didn't think it was a real person. So Adam started working with Floyd Rose. He was a rep for them for a couple of years. And that's how I met him.
Okay, cool.
And then he sort of went off on his own and started doing the all the upgrade stuff, the big block things and all the titanium parts and stuff that he does. And some people say Futone instead of FU-tone, but, you know.
Right.
But, so I've known him for a long, long time, you know, back in, of course, you know, he works with Eddie Van Halen really closely. So that's been cool, you know, getting to hang with him a couple of times. So it's been a while. I've
known him a long time. Wow.
Yeah, I got to say 15 years or so, maybe more.
Right.
So, yeah, he does. I mean, he works with, like, everybody. I mean, I don't know. There's very few guitar players that aren't using some of his parts, you know.
Right on.
So it's good, you know. I mean, it's, just go on the website, you'll see. I mean, anybody I can think of has been done something with him, you know.
Yeah.
So that's good for him, you know. It's good for everybody, so. He's a good friend of mine, so I mean, I see him all the time.
Cool. Hey.
Yeah, it's been very cool.
Eddie, before we let you go, I was talking to John Ostrowski, aka Astronomy, before the right. interview, and he wanted to me to tell you hello. And he was also suggesting, you know, I think it was nine, almost 10 years ago that we did some great jamming with you. We were just honored.
We played
Sabbath, and I think we played a Twisted song too, I Wanna Rock, and it was Richard Christie on drums. Sabbath, yeah. And Corey from Warrior Soul, I think, was singing with us. But we'd love to do another all-star jam with you sometime. Maybe we can hook that up sometime in New York City in the future. It'd be great to do something like that again.
Yeah, that came out really good. I mean,
it did. You know, it did.
It's a really good jam. I mean, came out really good. I mean, last time I remember I wasn't feeling good. I had like a cold. My throat was swollen. And I had called John and said, can we put it another day? He says, no, man, we got to do it today. But, you know, I was fine. Once we started playing, I felt better. But I had I was getting over a bad cold or something. I remember I was not feeling too good, but, you know, the show must go on, right?
Right on. Yeah,
it's up there. It turned out great. Yeah,
it's up there on YouTube. It's got like hundreds of thousands of views. So, yeah, it's... It was a great, great moment and special for us that you did that with us. So thanks again for that. Maybe we'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, is he still working with Ace, I think?
Yeah, John is working with Ace. He's actually flying out to wherever Ace is, San Diego, I guess, to kind of help out with some recording that Ace is doing right now. So he's heading out there next week, I believe. So he is... very busy with Ace, and then he holds down a full-time job in New York too, working at
still doing that too. Wow.
Yeah, he works at Nickelodeon.
Been Ace for a long time.
Yeah, he's at Nickelodeon. Wow. So yeah, busy guy.
Yeah, because I saw every time I've seen him, it's with Ace, and we've played together
right
a couple times. And you know, I've always seen him, even back when we did Carnegie Hall, just me and Ace did the acoustic thing.
Right, that's right.
But yeah, I know. Yeah, I know he's been. You weren't at that show, but that's on YouTube too. It came out. That's another thing. Sometimes things come out better than you think. You know, these things are put together real quick, and
right.
It's good when that happens.
Right on.
It was definitely cool. Cool.
Well, Eddie, it's always great catching up with you, and thanks for sharing the stories with us here on Talking Metal. And we, again, will have the hot sauce linked, and we encourage the listeners to pick up a bottle. It's reasonably priced. And again, twistedhotsauce.com. Is it in stores too, the hot sauce?
It's in some stores, like Pepper Palace carries it.
All right.
And it's in a lot of the mom and pop, like, stores. A lot of the specialty sauce stores will carry it. You know, it's not in like the big supermarkets, but, you know, it's more like a gourmet sauce thing. It's not, so sometimes it's, you know, to get something in the big supermarkets is, it's very difficult. And it kind of keeps it more special like this, you know. And right now on Amazon, I feel like a car salesman. Amazon, you can get to, no, it's, but it's, they have, yeah, I'm working with a guy on Amazon, a fellow named Bruce, and, right now, it's free shipping.
Oh, cool.
You know, because we're Amazon Prime.
Yes, yeah.
Which is, so a lot of people have Amazon Prime, and now with that, you get free shipping. So it's been cool, you know, working with Amazon and getting this happening on there, too. So, because shipping is always a big thing with anything online.
Right.
So
right.
It's pretty cool. People can take advantage of that if they're on Amazon Primers.
Yes.
Such a car salesman being here.
Right. Cool. Well, that's good to know. It's on Amazon Prime and the hot sauce, twistedhotsauce.com.
Right. Yep.
Cool.
Can't go wrong.
Excellent.
Okay, hey, my man. Nice talking to you, Mark.
Hey, Eddie, please keep in touch and hope to see you soon.
I will, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay,
take care.
Nice talking to you.
Thanks for that. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to you're gonna burn in hell.
Twisted Sister featuring Eddie Ojeda from the Stay Hungry record. And by the way, I think the, what's that? Not the Food Network, but the Sister Network, the, what network is that other network?
I don't know
the
what
cooking,
you're talking
cooking
about.
Channel. Okay. They adopted the catchphrase, Stay Hungry. And I guarantee somebody got that from Twisted Sister.
Yeah, so very well.
They should be paying Dee Snider and Twisted Sister royalties for that. Yeah.
If they were Gene Simmons, they would have it trademarked and they'd already got a lawsuit filed.
Exactly. So real quick, guys, I just feel like I have to have a disclaimer real quick because I don't want anybody like driving crazy and not. The Like It Bitter End gig is in New York City. When I said it wasn't in the the Bret Michaels thing wasn't in the New York City area, I just meant the city area. Right. So we're not announcing it yet, but the Bret Michaels thing is going to be in the New York area. But as you know, the New York area is really big, and sometimes it could take hours to drive from one part of New York to a different part of New York.
It's like 7 hours to drive to Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. So this is going to be it's not that far away, but it's still in the New York area. We will be announcing that shortly. But if you're in the New York City area, if you live in Jersey, you live in New York City, you live in Staten Island or the Bronx or Queens or Brooklyn, and you don't want to travel too far, you just want to shoot right over to New York City to the Village area and see Like It at the Bitter End. If you want to expand,
what's the date on that again? That is
the 29th of July, Saturday. If you want to expand your horizons, you can wait until we announce the Bret Michaels thing. But and some of you guys might be able to figure it out anyway. So
all right, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Like It maybe at the Bitter End, if not there, sometime soon.
Yeah, and one of these days, Mark, we're going to have you come on stage with Like It.
Oh, okay. I'd love that. I'd love
guest appearance.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Seriously, that'd be great. and one of these days, we're going to jam with Eddie Ojeda again. You know?
Yeah. We got to do another hook jam up with Eddie. Him.
We'll post both jams that are almost 10 years old. I think they're not Yeah, they actually might be.
Yeah, you're right. 2007.
December. Yeah. I believe they were recorded in December 2007.
Right. How about that?
Yeah, we'll post those in today's show notes, along with all the other info that I said about the hotline and the social media and all that. So go to the show notes. Visit TalkingMetal.com every day. Leave us a review on iTunes. Go to the podcasting section. Search Talking Metal and find us there. And speaking of Iron Maiden, the band that I originally saw Twisted Sister open up for, I'm going back to see them next week. Well, I was going to come down to Florida with you and see Ace and Rat, but Emily got tickets for the New York show, the Brooklyn show Maiden, the final night of the tour. So going back to that, hopefully the Talking Metal fan Jerry, I think, is going to be hanging out. So I hope to meet him and hang out with him. If we have time, still trying to work out.
Jerry Jamie's friend Jerry, or is that a different Jerry?
I think it's a different Jerry. Jerry from Long Island is his name.
Oh, okay. Online.
Yeah. So
is Ghost still opening up?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, very cool. And Jerry from Long Island, I wish I could meet you there, but if I wasn't down on tour with Ace and playing that gig with Ace and Rat, and Ace is doing two headlining shows as well. Cool. And the show with Rat is a co-headlining show, and that's going to be really cool. Rat's such a great band as well.
Yeah, great live.
Oh, no doubt about it. When I went to Berkeley, on my application, they said, what are your favorite groups? And I put, and most people are putting, like, my favorite guy is, like, Frank Zappa, and, who's amazing, but, all these, like, super musicians. And not that these guys aren't, but I was into straight metal even back then. So I was into Kiss, Twisted Sister, and Rat, and that's what I told them. Those three bands, and how cool is that?
And they still let you in. They still let you into Berkeley.
Let me into Berkeley. Yeah.
Well, at least you were honest, because I guarantee there were some people who probably had similar bands that were their favorites, but on the application they put Jaco Pastorius and Charlie Parker and Herbie Hancock before the 1980s.
You want to hear a crazy story, speaking of Twisted Sister, real quick, and I know we gotta go, but when I went to see Twisted Sister at the Orpheum Theater in Boston, and I can't even remember who opened that gig, I don't think it was Sanctuary. That might have been Slayer and Sanctuary that I saw, and maybe Doro. But I went to see Twisted Sister, and I ran into Mark the Animal Mendoza, on the street. And I swear to God, we went to a mall together. Like some strange mall. And so me and him just walked around. He knew I was just – I said, hey, I'm a big fan. And we walked around a mall, and then I guess they had just done soundcheck. And I was so freaking psyched. That was before the age of digital cameras. And I mean, digital cameras weren't even out. This was in 1988, 89 or something like that. And so you couldn't get selfies. It didn't exist at that point. But it was just a totally really cool experience. And how cool is it that all these years later, we're friends with Eddie. And in addition to doing another Talking Metal jam with Eddie, it'd be great, Mark. And we haven't even discussed this, but we got to do another screaming metal style gig. Maybe we'll just even call it Talking Metal.
Right.
And we do something like that where we get a band together. And we get Eddie to come down and play a song.
If we paid Mike Portnoy or something to do it, and we had like major guest stars, because if you get Ace and Mike Portnoy and a few people that everyone wants to play with, suddenly everybody else will just come down and do it, because they want to do it, So and I mean something like that. I mean, part of our problem, dude, is we don't think big enough. Something like that, we could headline BB King's. I mean, serious.
I'm serious too, and I know all the promoters there too. So if we say, look, we're gonna come in with all these guys,
bad businessmen. If you know the promoters, we should say, how much money can we get if we do this? And then if they say, you can make 20 grand, then we can go to these guys and say, hey, we'll pay you $2,000. I don't want to make any money. I'll give it all to the people who come down and jam with us,
Right.
But,
I guarantee we could do that. And it's called Talking Metal Jam Night or something like that. And we come out, we do it live.
Yeah. And then we shoot it and we sell it to Axis. And
that would be great. Would be great.
All right. It's decided.
Okay. It's a plan. It's a plan.
Watch out. Talking Metal Jams coming to Access TV real soon.
Right.
No, I'm serious. But maybe we should hang up the podcast here and talk about
we'll talk
more seriously.
Business.
Yeah. Talk business. Now I'm all amped up. Anyways, this is life. Ugh, can't even talk.
Thank you to the listeners.
Yeah, thanks, listeners. Thank you for always sticking with us. This is Like a Knife in the Back by Twisted Sister, going way back to 1983, the You Can't Stop Rock and Roll record. Big thanks to Eddie Ojeda. Go buy his hot sauce now. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Cool.